Our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, which is, we're reading from the 24th chapter, verses 36 to 44. And I'm going to read from a version that's called the Common English Bible. You're welcome to follow along in your Bible, or you're welcome to just listen to these words. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. But nobody knows when that day or hour will come. Not the heavenly angels and not the Son. Only our parent knows. As it was in the time of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the human one. In those days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. They didn't know what was happening until the flood came and swept them all away. The coming of the human one will be like that. At that time, there will be two people in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taking, the other left. Therefore, stay alert. You don't know what day the Lord is coming. But you understand that if the head of the house knew at what time the thief would come, they would keep alert and wouldn't allow the thief to break into their house. Therefore, you also should be prepared, because the human one will come at a time that you don't know. This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for your presence that is here in us, surrounding us, among us. God, we ask that you would stir within us. Help us keep awake, stay awake. God, I ask that you would speak through me and speak in spite of me, that the words of my heart, of my lips, and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you. Amen. I am a bit squeamish about apocalyptic texts in general. I don't like them very much. I don't gravitate toward them much in my prayer life. This text from Matthew that we just read is no exception, and it is definitely apocalyptic. Apocalyptic is to talk of the end of things. It's to talk about the end of time. It's often about endings that are catastrophic. This is the theme that characterizes apocalyptic, often the destruction of the world as we know it. All of the gospel writers have texts within the gospel, each one, that are apocalyptic in nature. They all share that. And all of them speak of a time where there is an end, a time none of us can know or predict, when the human one, that is Jesus the Christ, will return. And we don't know when that's going to happen. Here in Matthew, we get pretty scary imagery. Two women are grinding meal together, and one is snatched away, the other one is left behind. Two workers in the field, one is taken, the other one is left behind. This sounds like scenes from some horror zombie movie where some alien force is snatching people away. It's scary. What in the world are we to do with a text like this? It feels foreign to us. What meaning does it have? Do we even care? And why, as we begin this season of Advent, do these apocalyptic texts always resurface? It doesn't seem very Christmassy. It doesn't seem very hopeful. Perhaps an important place to begin is to remember this, that people who wrote apocalyptic texts and the people who tend to most understand the spiritual depth of apocalyptic texts are people on the margins of society. People who see most clearly that the world as it currently is All the systems that we have in place are not working. They are not working. The world as they experience it is not just. It is hate-filled, oppressive, violent, bent on destroying the marginalized. Apocalyptic biblical texts are written by and for people on the margins. People of color will probably know this, white folk not necessarily. Have you ever wondered why so many of the spirituals sung by enslaved Africans in our country have biblical apocalyptic themes in them? One comes immediately to mind. My Lord, what a morning. My Lord, what a morning when the stars begin to fall. We'll hear the trumpet sound to wake the nations underground, looking to my God's right hand when the stars begin to fall. This imagery is taken directly from Matthew's gospel, just a few verses before the passage we read, talking about the stars falling from heaven, the trumpet sounding, the end of the world is happening. That imagery of Christ's return when the stars are falling, and that is remembering a time when the brutal end will be, the brutal reality of the world will come to an end. And so that you can see that this apocalyptic themes and texts are hopeful because it meant an end to the horrifying reality that enslaved people were experiencing and looking forward to beginning a new life where there is freedom and where God will reign completely. Indigenous people also know intimately the meaning of apocalypse. Randy Woodley, who I've talked about before, is a theologian and Kitwa Cherokee. He says that the apocalypse already happened for Native Americans. Here's a quote from him. God's purpose was never for Europeans to rule over indigenous peoples, nor to subjugate our lands. In my estimation, the Europeans who invaded our shores, blinded by theological hubris and greed, could not accept the said terms God had in mind. What has been dubbed the Columbian Exchange was for indigenous peoples in their lands the beginning of the apocalypse. One of the ways I think we can engage this text from Matthew is to understand that the apocalypse is far from being a fictional zombie movie. People have actually lived through apocalyptic times. Yes, even when children and family members were snatched from fields and from homes, sold or sent away to missionary schools. Separation and destruction of families is something we've been doing for a long time. We are still doing it to marginalized peoples, especially immigrant communities. White Europeans have created the apocalypse, horrific systems of oppression that function only to destroy and kill. I actually don't think we can come anywhere close to the truth of what this text means or wants to do in us, absent from the history of those who have already endured apocalypse and who are wading through it right now, even as we speak. We have to remember that apocalyptic texts are written for and by marginalized people, and this text in Matthew is no exception. At its core, this text is about acknowledging, first of all, that there is something deeply wrong with the way our world is functioning. And second of all, the systems of oppression that we have in place, they do not jive with God's vision of a just world. And so the scripture reading is telling us in no uncertain terms, the way things are, they must come to an end. They must come to an end. Now, every year at the beginning of Advent, we have an apocalyptic text that's assigned in the lectionary. And maybe that's because every year, and probably much more than once a year, we need a wake-up call. Like an alarm call that wakes us and says, this world with all its systems of oppression, it must end. So what are you doing to bring cycles of harm and violence to an end? What are you doing with your life? Stay awake. Don't fall asleep. This is the Advent message. And what does it mean to stay awake, we might say? Well, there are no ifs, ands, or buts about it in the gospel. To stay awake is to do the work of discipleship, which means taking care of and empowering the vulnerable, taking care of the sick, sharing food so that no one is hungry, visiting the prisoner, freeing the captives, offering hospitality to strangers, providing a bathroom on our first floor, practicing nonviolence, forgiveness, compassion. Liberation theologian Gustavo Gutierrez says that to keep awake translates into listening to the clamor for liberation, supporting and empowering our people's deepest hopes. So we are to keep awake in this season to what is most important, doing the work of discipleship, doing the works of love. We cannot fall asleep right now. Now, what is wonderful to me is that though we have this apocalyptic text on the one hand, and then we have another text in the season of Advent, a prophet voice that speaks alongside of Matthew's gospel, and that is the prophet poet Isaiah. Isaiah imagines a new world coming out of the backdrop of the old one dying. Isaiah the poet imagines this new world, a high mountain of the city of God, where all nations will stream, and there is a complete absence of political and economic oppression in this place. There is no hateful or divisive ideology. The nations will learn peace because they will practice it instead of practicing war. There is complete disarmament in Isaiah's vision. This poetic vision sounded as impossible to the hearers 2,000 years ago who heard this as it does to us right now in 2019. Impossible. It's perhaps never sounded so unrealistic. However, when you think about it, how unrealistic is the current order of things? Isn't the continuation of burning coal and our dependence on fossil fuels pretty unrealistic for any kind of life or any kind of future for us? Advent is a time when we think about these things. We are invited and dared to join the imagination of the prophet poets who are showing us a vision of what can be, even if it seems impossible. We are dared to step into that vision. If you notice, after Isaiah describes this vision where swords are beaten into plowshares, spears are beaten into pruning hooks, right after that he says, "Come, now let us walk in the light of the Lord. Now let us walk in the light of the Lord." There is a vision of the future, but the invitation is now to walk into this light, walk into this future as if it were a reality. So as we read a text like this one in Matthew, a text that is not comforting but disturbing, maybe we start first by giving thanks for the incredible resistance of African Americans and indigenous folk who have known deeply in their bodies the meaning of apocalypse, and who know and who teach us about this world with all its current arrangements, how this world must come to an end. We can start there. And then we can join the imagination of the prophet poets who give us a vision to embody today. We can root ourselves in the power of God's love and join this impossible new world that God is creating. I want to close the sermon today by offering words from another prophet poet who is a contemporary of ours. These words are from Michelle Martinez. She is a Latinx mestiza, an environmental justice activist, a writer, and a mother. She's working on a 30-day challenge to reframe our climate future positively. And I want to allow her words to close the sermon, because in my estimation, she is not so much unlike the prophet Isaiah, who is imagining an end to this world, and all its oppressive ways, and imagining a beginning of a new world. And Advent is a time of new possibility and of new realities breaking forth. So here are words that I want to close with, Michelle Martinez. She says, I want to breathe a cold November moment, quiet rustling of leaves, not smog sirens, so I can hear our ancestors' canter. I want grapevines and cucumbers and other edible climbers to replace chain link fences. I want Black Friday to mark the day we make per pupil allotments equal across all zip codes. I want carrier pigeons in each school and house of prayer, because when the grid goes down, y'all, no cell phones. I want neighborhood chicken co-ops, chicken co-op captains, and little chicken scarf contests. I want forests, not to drive 40 miles to get to. I want tall, dark, handsome forests to bathe in right here. I want to smell roses and corn tortillas in southwest Detroit, not sulfur and methane like today. I want art and garlic. I want to melt down every effing AR and make affordable housing on dry land for climate refugees. I want to melt down every Custer and Columbus statue for thousands of lapel pins that say never again. I want bank dividends paid to Black elders who survived Jim Crow to build their forever home wherever they damn please. Rather than doom, what will your climate future look like? I want voting to be a national holiday. I want community centers to teach local medicines and re-indigenize knowledge of this land. I want our elders to be warm in the winter, safe every day, and cared for by all. I want Black and Latinx families on the beach on a hot day having loud merry reunions without being policed. I want to ride a zero-emissions train to Lake Michigan from Detroit and be there in 2 hours. I want to drink from the waters of the greatest lakes without fear of being poisoned. I want to live in a world that teaches textiles, paper, and cloth making from recycling from age 7. I want to live in a world where there's affordable, beautiful food in walking distance for everyone. Rather than doom, what will your climate future look like? Give thanks for Michelle Martinez.